Nationals 101, a podcast by Nats fans for Nats fans. I'm Susan.
I'm Frank.
Wow.
I'm excited. I'm excited,
He's
Frank.
Really excited. Okay, so it's Friday, the 21st, 22nd?
Yes, 21st. Remember where you were. Remember where you are, so when someone asks you where you were, you'll know where you were. Charlie Slow said it much better than me.
Yeah, much better. But it's the day after the Nationals officially clinched a playoff
Berth.
Their first
since ever since moving here. The first for the franchise, which used to be the Expos since I think 1981, so 30 plus years, and the first for Washington D.C. in baseball since 1933.
Right, so 79 years.
So a huge deal, even though the players didn't make a big deal about it. On today's episode,
they're humble.
Yes, on today's episode, we're going to talk about these here playoffs. Now that you can. You know, it's always a jinx to talk about the playoffs. But,
yes, it is. But they're officially in it, so we can talk about it.
We can talk. We feel like we can talk about it. We're going to talk about a little bit about the week that was, the blown call, and anything else that kind of comes up in the interim. Kind of a quick episode, hopefully.
Quick episode because we actually have to hit the road to go to tonight's game.
Yes, we're going to go see them play. But let's talk about what happened. Strangely, the worst case of all scenarios, they got swept by the Braves.
Yeah.
Last weekend, which wasn't very nice.
Nope, not at all.
But that's what you build 8.5 game leads for, is to blow a couple of games here and there, including against a division rival. So that was a little sad. But, you know, the Nats are still up. Their magic number after all is said and done is currently at 8. So 8 more wins or Braves losses will get them into the National League East title. But the playoff magic number is now 0.
0. We're in it.
Yeah. So that's where we're at now. If you're wondering what that means,
yeah,
you're making a face at me.
Because you're making a face at me.
Okay.
The magic number. We did an episode on the magic number and what that means. And basically it's how many wins that the leading team needs to get into to be the division leader or to get into the playoffs or losses by the next team.
Right, or combination thereof.
Correct.
Thank you. What does it mean to be in the playoffs? It means postseason play, but what it really means, I guess, for the Nationals is that if everything else went to absolute pot and it just everything that went wrong
everything
could go wrong
the
for the next
4
weeks,
yeah.
They would still be in the wild card.
Right, so regardless, we are in the playoffs.
They're going to play at least one playoff game, but that's a little bit of a, and part of the reason why the guys weren't celebrating so much was based
they
on...
They still have a long road.
They do have a long road. There's a lot of games left to play, but also with the new MLB format, getting in the wild card is a lot less certain. And actually, there's some disadvantages for the Nationals having the best record in baseball. What I want to do, though, before we get there, I want to talk about the Dodgers game because this is where they sort of clinched their playoff berth.
Yeah, and so the Nationals lost that game 6-6.
Yeah. So the Nationals won the opening game of a doubleheader against the Dodgers, which, as people know, and John Kobe was quick to point out that I need to let go of some of the anger I have towards the Dodgers, but they were the first team to sweep the Nationals this year. There was a lot of bravado in Los Angeles in May and April. Everybody was chanting MVP for Matt Kemp. They booed Bryce Harper on his first day. I've been to Dodger Stadium. I hate Dodger Stadium. It's the most awful place to get to. The grandstand is cut off from the rest of the park. I have a real problem with the Los Angeles Dodgers. And there's just it's not just
the
one
stadium.
Thing. The stadium, the kind of the team. It's weird because I am such a Jackie Robinson fan and a Brooklyn Dodgers fan as a historian or as a fan of the history of baseball. But really, I just can't get on board with the Dodgers. And it's weird because I feel like the Dodger blue is one of the prettiest. Their uniforms are some
really
of the
pretty.
Prettiest. But at the same token, there are things I can't stand.
Which would you rather, which do you dislike the most, LA Dodgers or Phillies?
I think it's probably the Phillies by the teeniest of margins. But the Dodgers, I feel like, are going
to
be.
And I know how much you don't like the Phillies. So this says, to me, this says a lot already.
Yeah,
so.
Well, I found a lot more common ground with Phillies fans than Dodgers fans. And I think the Dodgers in the next couple of years really could set themselves up to be sort of the overall nemesis in the National League. Not the one in the division, but the one that you're going to see in the playoffs here now. But let's talk about the blown call in the second.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I was happy that they won the first game, and I'm happy that they won the series and won the get in the playoffs against them. But in the second game, the Nats were down 4-0. John Lennon hadn't played well. They brought in Chenmin Wong, who, despite kind of His first pitch was an absolute bouncer that went awry, and they scored another run, so that was five on the wild pitch. Despite that, actually pitched a pretty good couple of innings. But the next play was runners at, I think, second and third, okay? And the ball was hit directly at Ryan Zimmerman. Now, this should go down as one of the great plays by Ryan Zimmerman because it hits him at about 1,000 miles an hour, and it bounces off of him on the dirt, and he's sort of on his rear end. Gets over, crawls, scrambles, picks up the ball, and then tags Adrian Gonzalez between the legs. So the ball is making, well, it's
basically
more, it's more like Adrian Gonzalez had three balls for a second, because the picture's fantastic. And it should go down as like one of the great funny moments and great plays by Ryan Zimmerman, but it won't, because the overshadowing factor was everybody was watching Ryan Zimmerman, including the four umpires. And Matt Kemp, who was coming from third into home, left, and then the Dodgers dugout came out and said, hey, that's the third out, sure, but the guy crossed the plate before the tag was made. That run should count. Every picture of every replay shows that
got it wrong.
Not only was it wrong.
It was way wrong.
Way wrong, and the umpires weren't even looking at the play. So,
fail umpires,
just to clarify, umpires. I guess, the rule, when there's a force out, it's different. So if you can throw, like, normally if there's a guy at third and he's going to run home and there's two outs and the batter hits, normally they want to throw over to first, because even if that guy at third crosses home plate, if they get the out at first, the inning's over, because it's a force out, I think. And
right.
I'm pretty sure that,
so that
works.
Run would not count.
Right, and I'm pretty sure that works if there's force outs at second or third or whatever. It doesn't. If you can get a force out. If it's a tag, then you have to.
The ball's in play.
The ball's in play, and you have to tag the guy before the guy at home crosses, before the guy going home crosses the plate.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, the run's going to score. So that's. So in a world where Matt Kemp, the guy who was running from third to home,
right,
actually hustled, you know, he might have actually made the play in time. But watching the replay, Matt Kemp is actually half turned around, looking at the play
to see what's going on.
He's watching the play and not focusing on. So I'm kind of mad because it rewarded lazy play. Matt Kemp should have been hustling down the line on the Dodgers to score a run if he was concerned about scoring a run. It was a play where nobody was doing their thing, and the umpires the next day apologized. It was very clear they weren't looking.
Thanks for apologizing. Where's our curly W?
Exactly. Right.
I mean, really.
Now, of course, the Nats go down 6-0. The eighth inning, they score six runs. Matt Kemp scores a seventh run in the ninth inning, and the Nats lose. On the one hand, it really does feel like the Nats got jobbed. They absolutely, you know.
They did.
That run ended up costing things. There is the idea that games don't necessarily play out the exact same way, so you wouldn't know how a team would have played if they were only
had
up 5-0.
Right.
There's the butterfly effect of if you change one little thing, whatever. But I'd like to point out that it was the third out that was made, which means that the Dodgers' batting order didn't change. If the Nats had recorded the out and the run didn't score, or if they recorded the out and didn't, the next guy up for the Dodgers was still the same next guy up for the Dodgers. It didn't affect any of the pitching. Nobody got changed based on it. It wasn't like the inning got extended and there was another batter and it sort of changed the order. So there was a lot of things that.
So your theory is that even through the whole butterfly effect, but theoretically it shouldn't have changed anything because same batting order, same.
There was a lot that stayed in place, actually.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, butterfly, schmutterfly. The you know, the bigger thing is, you know, for me, this is a place where MLB umpires can go and rewatch a home run to see if it's a close home run near the foul pole or not. And for some reason, they're not allowed to watch a scoring play.
That's interesting, so, and bizarre. And is there a reason behind that?
Well, yeah, because the history of... Okay, there's the history of the game where there hasn't been replay. Then you've got guys like Bud Selig, the commissioner, who famously said that the MLB fans, there's no appetite for instant replay. And they like to talk about the human element. The basic argument for my philosophy friends out there is a slippery slope, okay? It's sort of this, well, if you let in replays for scoring runs, and the next thing,
then
we'll have to do replays for tags at first,
yeah.
Replays on balls and strikes, and the argument, and all of a sudden it's an NFL game, and it's 5.5 hours long instead of 3 hours long, and it's going to delay the game. Pretty much the slippery slope is one of the worst, you know, it's one of those things where I talk, when I used to tell my students, like, we don't, that's not a good argument. You know, there's no actual evidence that if you were to play or have replays on these scoring plays, that it would affect the game length or that there would actually be more replay later. The number of plays, okay, the number of scoring plays, like what's the average baseball score, like 6-5 or 5-4? I think that's kind of generous, right?
Yeah.
So you're talking about a total of 10 runs total. How many times are those runs crossing the plate, not from home run, right?
Yeah.
And then how many times out of that are those runs actually in controversy?
Absolutely.
Where someone's
right.
going to say, you need to review this. I think you're talking about once a team, you know, if it's once a week a fan base has to watch a 3-minute thing to make sure something was scored properly,
right.
I don't think anyone cares. It's really obnoxious, you know, and you could definitely do it for scoring plays. And I don't think it would be awful for really close plays at first where a guy was maybe scoring on the other end.
Especially for such a close game at that point, too.
For a close, right, you know, and it's all supposed to even out, and there's this code word called the human element. People like the human element of the game.
Human error?
Yeah, but they call it the element because they don't want to talk about human error.
The element. What
you know,
is an element?
The human element, you know, and that's sort of to account for, you know, better batters get better strike zones because there's this presumption that they're good batters and they're getting, we talked a little bit about it in pitching and hitting, better pitchers and better batters when it comes to the strike zone get a little bit of a presumption and they've earned it because they're better.
This sounds eerily like the expert on NPR about teachers favoring students.
Right.
Sorry,
yeah,
just actually, to put it into context.
Yeah,
for me.
Better students get better qualifications from, you know, teachers.
Get that more time to do things. More they get. Yeah.
And worse students sort of get pushed aside
Chapped
sooner.
It.
Right. So almost that same theory of this psychological bias in the back.
Interesting.
Place. And to that I say, you know, the human element, I can't look at Pluto with my naked eyes, okay? I can't rub my hands together and cure mono. I can't do a lot of things just as a human. And science has progressed for a reason, because we have big brains, and that's how we've survived as a species. So I'm a little upset at this nonsense that we
that we have the technology, just give us this to replay what we need it.
We can't use a machine to help us, because somehow it's going to pervert this American ideal, which is just nonsense. Send your replies to nationals101@gmail.com.
Yeah.
But I am on my soapbox for definitely at least scoring plays.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think the things that you stated are
yes. Well, despite the best efforts of the umpires, the Washington Nationals are in the playoffs.
Haha, fooled
playoffs.
You. Playoffs.
You want to talk about play. You ever seen that clip? Remember the old commercial?
No.
Good. Don't worry about it.
No.
We're fine.
No, I haven't.
But you were asking some questions about how the playoffs work.
Yeah, the other day I was just not too sure like how the playoffs work. I mean, in NBA, so Super Bowl, you play one game. You play a game against another team. Whoever wins that game moves
right.
on.
It's a single
right?
elimination
It's a single
deal.
Elimination game. You move on, yada, yada. NBA, I feel like it takes forever.
I don't like the NBA.
Ever.
The NHL. Let's do the NHL because we're hockey.
Okay, sure. That's fine. So even in NHL, you play these 7-game series that just seem to take forever.
Yeah.
And so my question was, what are they? They're in the playoffs. Now what? And how long? When will the World Series be? Because how long is it going to take for everyone to get done?
Right. Well, if you go to the Major League Baseball website, they actually have the playoff schedule announced and written out. They just don't have the team's names filled in, right? So they have seed 1 versus seed 4 in the NL or whatever. So you can go look at the actual dates, and we went and looked at that, and our calendar is filled under the knock on wood presumption that the Nats have the best record in baseball.
Yes, we're still going to go into that, yep.
So it's important. The World Series is supposed to end by November 1st, and that's if they go 7 games. So it's going to take a month. It starts, I think, on the 5th. They get a day off. There's the 3rd is the last day. Then there's the 4th and off day, which we'll talk about why in a second. And then the 5th is like wild card showdown day. And that's because baseball this year changed its rules.
It changed it a little bit, right.
Remember now, there's 2 leagues, right?
The American and the National.
And there's 3 divisions in each league. The
North,
West.
South, Central.
West, Central, East.
West, Central, East.
Right, so we're in the National League East. And the West and the Central and the 3 teams that have the best record in each division get in. And then it used to be the 4th team that got in was the wild card, and that was the team with the best record that doesn't win its division.
Mm-hmm.
So this year that'd be Atlanta, because they would have won the West if they were in the West. They have the best record of anybody.
Right,
they're in
yeah.
it. Baseball this year added another wild card team. So the top 2 teams that don't win their division are going to get into the
one from the American, one from the National.
No. 2 teams in the National League and 2 teams in the American League.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Right. So we're just going to think about the National League for now.
Gotcha.
Because you can then just say what we said.
Figure it out and with American
it's the exact right, same yeah. thing yeah. in the American League. The mirror works in the American League. So we're just talking about the National League. So you're going to have the Nationals. If it was today, it'd be the Nationals, Cincinnati, and the Giants, San Francisco Giants, would all be the division winners.
Okay.
And you'd have St. Louis and the Braves as the wild card. And what happens now is it used to be the wild card team would just show up and they would play the best team, the number one seed, unless they were from the same division. So this year, it would have been the Braves. Last year, it would have been the Braves first. It would not have been the Braves versus the Nationals, even though they were 1-4, because the Braves and Nats are in the same division. So Washington would have ended up playing the Giants, probably, and Cincinnati would have played the Braves. This year, the two wild card teams play each other in a one-game playoff.
Single elimination, yeah.
So the Braves and the Cardinals will play each other in one game. It would, at this point, be in Atlanta because Atlanta has the better record. And that's it. You're one and done. And if you lose and you get in, you're out. And that affects either team. So, you know, so the traditional wild card is very much watered down because now you only have a 50-50 chance of advancing to the actual division. So that's
a sudden death.
Right. So that's why a lot of the players weren't too chipper about getting into the playoffs. I mean,
I
also guess. Because they're clearly like in contention to win this division and have the best league and the best record in the league. But also, you know, it's not exactly a prize pig to get the wild card anymore.
Sure.
The other caveat is the thing that might affect the Nationals. If the Nationals have the best record, when they play whoever comes out of it, let's say it's the Braves, because they made this change sort of last minute at the beginning of the year, they didn't really schedule enough travel days into the schedule.
Oh, boy.
So what happens is, normally, you would open in Washington with two games, you'd go to Atlanta for two more games, and the fifth and final game would be in Washington.
Okay.
Right? So 2-2-1.
Right.
This year, because there's no travel days, you start with your two games in Atlanta, and then you go play three games in Washington in a best of three series.
So basically what you're saying is you're going to the worst record team first.
And that's for the first and second place team. So the Reds would start
obnoxious.
In San Francisco. It is obnoxious because even though you're still getting three home games, you're starting off on the
road
for two.
You're starting off, right.
Yeah, and it's a little dicey and it's sort of, you don't get a, it's weird from a couple of perspectives in that the team with the best record doesn't necessarily, if something terrible, or even if something doesn't terrible happen, what if either team sweeps the other one, then the home team only gets
that one game.
Only gets one game at home, which affects receipts and
yeah,
ticket
no
sales and concessions. So that's a disadvantage for the home team there. It's also a little tougher to play on the road. So you're going to start off, you know, the Nats have done well on the road, but you know, you got to go to Atlanta for two games, it looks
like. And it's harder coming back with an 0-2 start.
It feels harder.
It feels harder.
Right. On one level, they should be, you know, five games is five games. But on the other level, when it's a small sample size like this, it's a tough thing to have to come down 0-2 and get home. Now, the rumor mill is that this is going to get fixed for next year, and they'll schedule enough.
Well, that's fine for next year, but we're in the playoffs this year, people.
Right, we're in the playoffs this year, so it's
come
on.
I don't want things to go sour and people to say, right. Oh, well, if it was next year, oh, they'd be fine.
Right, well,
that was
I'm sure someone will throw in a Strasburg reference in that sense,
voice.
Too. Strasburg, blah, 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 road
right?
game.
Right, yeah.
There are some advantages, though, to the wild card format for the Nationals, though. First of all, if there's a tie anywhere in any of these places for, like, the last wild card spot or for one of the divisions, that's why there's that off day between the end of the season and the regular season, because you have to play a tiebreaker to see who goes. So you could have a tiebreaker to get to the wild card one playoff game to then get to the home game, to get to your division series. If that happens, then you're in the unenviable position. In either case, you're in the unenviable position of having to use one of your first two starters in those games. So the Braves are going to go
up the flirtation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The Braves are going to, even if the Braves just get in normally, right? They're going to play St. Louis. They're going to have to start with a Chris Medlin or a Tim Hudson, one of these guys who's really good. If they win
and
that game,
start the
all
series,
of a sudden it's
yeah.
Gio versus the number two guy. Then it's the number three
mismatched.
Guy. And then when you get to game three, are you going to start your first guy again? Because sometimes they go on 3 days rest in the playoffs. Or are you going to bring in a fourth guy? So you're sort of, the Nats are stacked in that they should be playing weaker pitchers the first round, no matter who shows up, in a theoretical sort of way. You know, every game and every pitcher is different. So then, assuming they get through that, there's the 7-game National League Championship Series and then the 7-game World Series.
Okay, so just to back up a minute. So there's the wild card single elimination game.
Right.
Then there's the 5-game first round, I guess.
Division Series.
Division Series, right. Okay.
So while we're playing Atlanta, I'm going to guess.
Division Series.
Right.
Then there's a 7-game
championship
series.
And we would play the winner of, let's say, Cincinnati, San Francisco.
Okay, so that's still in the National
League. We're still in the,
okay.
Right. And the winner of this is the National
and then champion. It goes into World Series.
Right, because that you'll be the winner of the National League Champions.
Wild card division
championship
World Series.
Yep. And then you would play the American League winner, which would be, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess that's what, 7, 14, and then, like, so I guess it's like 21-ish, 22-ish games.
14, yeah, 14 and 5 would be 19, plus one wild card could be as many as 20 games.
Right.
And that, yeah, so.
It sounds so.
But for the Nats, I mean, it wouldn't be more than 19, provided they're the division team. And, you know, hopefully they would, you know, beat some teams a little quicker than 5 and 7 games.
It sounds long, but it's actually pretty short. I mean, in consideration to again, going back to to hockey and NBA, it sounds like it goes fast.
It does kind of go fast, yeah. And during the division series, a lot of those teams will be playing on top of each other a little, so the games will be going on at the same time, or at least halfway through the same time. You might get some weird start times for the Nationals. You might get games that start at 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock.
Oh, interesting.
Because they want to get as much of it on TV as they can. A lot of this is driven by TV money. Don't let anyone ever,
of course it is.
You know, don't let anyone ever lie to you and say that it's all about, you know, showing up to the stadium, because the concession and the ticket sales is minuscule compared to what these teams make on TV.
Right.
But it's about selling TV ad space. Then when you get to the championship and the World Series, those games won't be played at the same time. I think we saw there was one or two instances where the championship games are on the same day. But it's one and then the next
they'll
one.
They'll
be staggered. So
on the same day or on different days?
On this, they'll mostly be on different days. There's a couple times where they're on the same day, but not at the same time. So
okay.
You could have, you know, 7 hours of
right.
championship baseball to watch.
Woohoo.
Yeah. So, you know, unfortunately, we were talking about this because now Susan's entire October schedule is thrown completely out for whack. So thankfully, one or two things we have to do are on days when the Nationals would be playing on the road somewhere, most likely.
Right. So, I mean,
so
I'm
we would
hoping
be
that it stays, that we stay in the position that we're in so that the dates that I have marked in my calendar continue to work through the rest of October so
yes.
that I can do the other things I
so
want.
So if for nothing else, we need them to have the best record just for our scheduling.
For my social schedule.
Yes, for our
for
life.
My social schedule, they need right. to continue.
Yeah, but you're pot committed to go to these games, so that's good. And we already got all of our friends, as of this morning, have clamored and taken over the extra seats we had. So there
and
goes
they
my,
are gone.
They're gone. There goes my making millions of dollars on them idea, because they got snapped up. But we're happy to sit with our friends, I guess.
I
like,
okay.
I like millions of dollars, too.
Of course.
All right, we better wrap this up.
Get to the game.
So we have, let's see, you want to find us on Twitter? What is it?
At Nationals101.
And email?
Nationals101@gmail.com.
We are located on citizensofnatstown.com. You can look at us under Nationals101, and it's facebook.com/Nationals101. That's right. We've been posting a lot of pictures and a lot of articles up there. I try and do one a day. And if you have any comments or questions, seriously, throw them out there, email them to us, send them to us. But today, everyone be happy, because we're in the playoffs, and that hasn't
Yay,
happened.
Go
so,
Nets.
Excuse me, the Nationals are in the playoffs. We aren't. We'll be going.
Our team is,
yes, I know.
Yes.
My bad. Anyway, until next time, I'm Frank.
I'm Susan.
Have a great time, guys.
See ya.
Bye.